Blog Talk Radio.
Here you can travel realms uncharted, blur the lines, break the chains, open yourself to possibilities waiting to be discovered on the other side. I am your hostess, Pam Ray, and as I said, tonight is our Halloween week special, so we are going to have some dark and spooky poetry along with all our other shows. And if you find that tonight's show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles and topics, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance, check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And I'd like to welcome Fill My Eyes to the show. Welcome, Jean. Glad you could join me.
Hi, Pam. This is like deja vu.
What's happening? It is. Yeah, I know. It's like the wow. Or like the Wonder Twins of Halloween week, apparently.
I'm telling you, we are the twins. That's it. My mother always said I should have been twins, and I always said it would be scary. So see, here we are. Absolutely.
There you go. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
We have a great one. What
awesome.
Was that?
No. Go ahead.
We have a great lineup of poetry tonight.
It's a nice full board.
I did like 3 separate contests, plus I think I got like 3 poems that were like basically like open darkness poetry. I had ran a contest that just, you know, didn't fly, so which was Dadaism and Bauhaus costumes. And that was all right because, you know, not every prompt or theme or contest speaks to people. And thankfully, there's so many ideas out there, and I thought, well, you know what, there's always something. But, you know, we do have a nice full board. Our main topic and our first contest for tonight is the topic of windows. I had put up a contest where I had spooky quotes and dark photographs of, like, windows and, you know, abandoned windows or, you know, all kinds of different varieties. It just worked really well. And that one had, I think, a decent response to it.
Right.
So, absolutely. So, I have to say, great response. But I'm glad to have you here. Thank you so much.
Wait till Rex gets the bill for this one. This is holiday hours, you know.
That's right. We're going to be charging him. I mean, and like you said, it's not his usual, like, you know,
double time.
It's double time. Exactly.
Double time for the holiday. Holiday
hours.
It's like when you need a plumber on Christmas Day, you're going to pay for it.
There you go. Yeah. I like it. Well, I'm sure he must be extremely tired, and I hope he's getting some much-needed rest.
I am sure.
Yes. But, it would have been great to have his voice on a Halloween night, or not Halloween,
absolutely,
but, you know, Halloween week. I just consider
absolutely
the whole week Halloween.
Amen. That's always the way. Always the way. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's a good thing I looked at my phone because I sure as heck wasn't looking over in the speakeasy. I was kind of doing my thing, taking my half hour before bed and shooting some pool. But we're good because I saw you.
That's right. Well, you know, I figured even if you didn't see my message right away, I figured eventually you'd be checking back in, so I would just, you know, hang on until that time.
Well, yeah, because it's Halloween weekend. I'm trying to listen to a little bit of every show, at least, for this week.
Yeah.
Not that I don't care, but I just, 6 a.m. comes early, man. And I'm old. I'm getting old. So I can't even say anything better than that. But yeah. So yeah. So I am it's his first visit here. Oh. Well, he does something.
Okay, oh, I didn't realize that was a new name for. I just saw the name Rob, and I thought Robbie's Poetry.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally new, but yeah, well, it's good to see someone new in the room. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since we have a nice full board, I'm going to go ahead and get us started. Our first poem from the Windows Contest is A May Flies Tomorrow by Ben Hart, and it goes like this.
Okay.
Her eyes were a misdirection. They write love stories, but it's fiction. Because she's never kissed me, she doesn't miss me. She just resurrects moments of loneliness when she wants me to leave. Or maybe she's just telling the truth as she sees it. In the parting, there is distance. Where the hills fall lie valleys of a vision, and it was motion, not notion, that saw destiny stumble into veritas. And it was fact, not faith, upon which humanity built herself a prison. It was distance, not time, that killed the skin and plucked apart heartbreak as the white rose snow for its funeral. Insomniacs herd leaping sheep to the cliffs and count how many of them live. I reweave the threads of a feather into wings and listen to wind and the goodbyes sing to join my flock's blood on the rocks. A picture hung on gypsy nails, the people in them fast asleep, forever encased in the dream that was a good day. And we danced with daybreak through the alleyways as shadows played our songs on repeat. Gregory Allen Isakov, San Luis. Sleeping in quicksand sheets and fruit salad for breakfast. A fruit salad for breakfast. Pick them orchids of dreaming. Blue lemonade to wash it down. Then leave again into awakening. You look sad, looking back through the windows. Uncertain about your smile, about the thing you became. Whenever you feel this way, you look like white smoke pulled into a snowstorm, not ready to go. And your shadow retreated as ivy on the wall, but your body didn't make it to the door. I'm still in love, I know. Please pull me in. You're gone. Blood on the wings of white doves, a beggar's pleasure at his leisure. Death is a business that doesn't do debt. Man finds hope in humming, but does not know the sorrow of a mayfly's requiem who sings for no tomorrow. Why canaries sing for the colorblind? Why sparrows fall alone but rise as one? Why seagulls scream after lover leaving? And why eagles make a phoenix ash again? But least of all knows why all man manages to get done is waiting around to die or jumping the gun. And Ben was inspired by a few different prompts, including some of his own, but also from the contest, prompt 7 and 4. And Jean, your thoughts.
You know, as always, you know, Ben is a great writer. His use of vignettes is pretty effective, especially when he takes multiple prompts, because it tends to be one prompt per vignette or one vignette per prompt. And I find that to be, you know, a clever way to do it. I like the way he started this piece out. Fiction. Her eyes were a misdirection. They write love stories, but it's fiction because she's never kissed me. She doesn't miss me. she just resurrects moments of lonely when she wants to leave me, or maybe she's just telling the truth as she sees it. It's kind of interesting. You know, her eyes were a misdirection. They write love stories, but it's fiction. You know, it's like she looks at me a certain way, but it's not true. You know, and because she's never kissed me, she doesn't miss me. You know, she just resurrects moments of lonely. I think that is, I don't know, it's a nice stanza or a nice vignette. And I think it's well done, and I think it's well stated. And I enjoy that. You know, I probably could plug up another one because that one seemed kind of short, but I'm not going to do that because I know you have a ton of poetry. But I think that it really is something else. And the final one, the death vignette, is kind of long and sorrowful. You know, I mean, it's a shame. And it talks about the mayflies and, you know, death and flies. I'm kind of like, squeamish. But I think it really was well done. So great job, Ben, and thanks for sharing, as always. Nice job.
Absolutely. Great comment, Jean. You know, I get squeamish too, but I do like to, in dark rites, bring in flies and other insects because I feel like they're a raw and realistic representation of the reality of death. You know, of the visceral ugliness of death. And I did like the opening line, you know, for the emotional impact, and also because I thought it fit well with the theme of windows, because, you know, it's always said that the eyes are the windows to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, I thought the opening line worked really well. I really like, in the parting, there is distance. That idea that, you know, when two people become, you know, separated emotionally, either, you know, or physically because of death, you know, there's this great gap that happens. He's got wonderful imagery metaphors, a beautifully written vignette, as always, inspired by multiple prompts. The imagery of a picture hung on gypsy nails, the people in them fast asleep, forever encased in the dream that was a good day. And I thought gypsy nails, you know, was a great way to describe the idea of perhaps nails that you know, people that can't hold on, nails that can't hold on the picture. I imagine the pictures that keep falling off the walls, and the idea of having those memories that you're trying so desperately to hang on to. So a wonderful and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have What is the Voice by Liquid Mind Forever. And go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read.
Moi? Okay.
Yes, you.
Okay. Let me. What is the Voice by Liquid Mind Forever? Behind, I'm the window of doubt, beyond starch sheet devout. None thus far deciphers the route. We beg thee, please let me out. About sundown, round Devil's Town, breasts reveal there's corsets unbound. About sundown, round Devil's Town, there's this, the voice, a noiseless sound. Inside and out, the volume's high, though none, not one, mum shy. A raptor, a vulture, a cry, almost inaudible, so why? Am I driven madly to know the essence, the meaning, though slow? I am driven madly to know, is this voice the reaper I sow? Virulent spirit sent for joy, jury to judge or ploy, to deceive me both girl and boy. Devils, am I this toy? Negative vibes, positive too. Round in circles, not a clear view. Negative vibes, positive too. What is this voice? Mine, divine, you. End poem.
Great read, Jean. I thought this was a really great take on the chosen prompt, which shows a figure of a woman, which it could be a mannequin or it could be an actual person. It's hard to tell, but it's very, it's a wonderful eerie black and white picture. And I like how she uses this as a metaphor, you know, especially with the line where she says, behind I'm the window of doubt, beyond starch sheet devout, none thus for deciphers the route, we beg thee please let me out. I thought starch sheet devout and, you know, windows of doubt was the idea of somebody who they're trapped in a, they feel trapped in the life that they're in. And they don't know who they are. They question their own self. I really liked the flow of this. Her use of, explanation points and question marks allowed you to know, like where obviously the emphasis is supposed to be. And I think that worked quite well. I really like this all the way through, but another part I'll bring out is when she says, inside and out, the volume's high, though none, not one, mum shy, a raptor or a vulture, a cry, almost inaudible, so why am I driven madly to know the essence, the meaning? I feel like it speaks on those that idea of perhaps the voice of madness heard within the mind and trying to figure it all out, or maybe even not madness, perhaps it's a voice is from the spirit realm, and either way there's this idea of trying to figure something out. So a wonderful metaphorical write and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
Well, you know, I thought it was a nicely penned piece by Deborah. Excellent reflection of the chosen prompt. And, you know, I'm with the beginning stanza. Behind them, the window of doubt, beyond starch sheet devout. None thus far deciphers the route. We beg thee, please let me out. About sundown, round Devil's Town, breast revealed as corsets unbound. About sundown, round Devil's Town. There's this, the voice, the noiseless, a noiseless sound. There was, there were great lines in there, and each stanza was well done. So nice work, Deborah, and thank you, as always, for sharing.
Great work.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Great comment. And let's see what we have next. Up next, we have Diary for Future Historians, October 21st, 2023, by Daniel DeShino. And it goes like this. I know when I'm writing this, I don't know when it will be, but if it is just another scrap found, another random scrap of garbage from the long-lost society of which I am part of, it is not garbage. Nothing you see is trash. It is discarded and broken parts from the machine. I am one of them, a machine part, a cog, a gear that is turned by other gears, a widget. What's a widget? I'm not really sure. Powered by fuel, started by an on-off switch, long forgotten how to turn off. We couldn't turn it off. We started it and did not realize it was perpetual motion. I've been around long enough to understand sight, so I'm not totally sure where it started up, nor can I foresee its end. It is not energy that fuels the machine. It is a virus, the human brain, ignorance, hatred, selfishness. It spreads as much as I fight it and look for a cure. I am infected, and I will succumb as everyone else. Not sure of its name, survival, humanity, it's just a virus. The but, the antidote, the antithesis, the antonym, answers of love, wisdom, and compassion. Those armies still alive and fighting, year after year, day after day, person after person are losing troops. Don't think we didn't try. These remnants of the machine, I apologize for once being part of. If we are now just an archaeological dig, I hope this helps explain. And I hope in your own time you don't forget the on-off switch location and know when to give it the rest. Who knows what questions will flow through the thoughts of the future. But I would ask, why is this a diary? It is how I feel today, helpless and waiting and just waiting. And I can't be the only one. End poem. And Dan wrote to the quote, the opening prompt, which was the quote that says, "I try not to look out windows, or I try not to look at windows anymore." And he says, which he thinks is really a reflection of everything going on in the world and feeling helpless and just trying to escape. You know, so I definitely think he had an intriguing and creative take on the chosen prompt. And your thoughts, Jean?
I agree with you. It is an intriguing take on the prompt. I was looking anywhere through the piece to find something about the, like a reflection in a window or a window or I was just looking for that one little piece that I could kind of grab hold of. And I couldn't, and it's not, that doesn't make it bad. It just means I couldn't place it in my brain to speak on. I think it was a well done piece. I think he had a lot to say in it. You know, Dan always has good work, always. And he has a great way of writing on reflection, you know. And I like that about his work. But I grabbed this, I grabbed these lines because I wasn't exactly sure where I wanted to grab from, because each piece was a little bit different. But I started here. Don't think we didn't try. These remnants of the machine. I apologize for once being part of, if we are now, just an archaeological dig. I hope this helps explain. And I hope in your own time you don't forget the on-off switch location and know when to give it a rest. Who knows what questions will flow through the thoughts of the future? But I would ask, why is this a diary? It is how I feel today, helpless and waiting, and just waiting. And I can't be the only one. I think they were great lines, definitely. And I think, you know, as always, he expresses himself well. When he gets a direction, he just stays on it, and he gives it his all. You know, he puts a lot into it, and he carries that thought all the way through in his writes, and I think that's wonderful. It's just a good piece. So, nicely done, Dan, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. And yeah, you're right. He does take a direction and stays with it, which, you know, gives a nice feel to his poems. I like how this seemed to be along the line of an end of the world, kind of apocalyptic. And I like to me how it spoke on the idea of, like, looking out your windows and seeing the ugliness of the world and realizing that you're part of the problem. It also kind of reminded me of the Terminator movies, you know, with the idea of someone offering up words of wisdom and warning to a generation of people that don't realize the dangers that they're in. It was quite an epic write, and I like how he describes ignorance and hatred and selfishness as a virus that spreads among humankind. Yeah, and I like that. It is not energy that fuels the machine. It is a virus. The human brain, ignorance, hatred, selfishness. it spreads as much as I fight it and look for a cure. I am infected and I will succumb as everyone else. You know, wonderful lines and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have Reflections by Daniel Duane. And go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read for us.
You know, this has really been a great night for me, and this darn issue with the thing not refreshing. I'm not trying to
well,
be different.
Well, that's when that happened.
All night. I haven't seen any of the poems all night come up onto the board. So bear with me a second because I have to go and grab
no
them.
No problem.
So irritating. Okay. And I refreshed 2 and 3 times, and I still don't see it. So. Like,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, you're an old pro, so I don't know. I don't have to tell you. Just refresh, Jean. Just refresh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but for some reason, it like, I see it flicker, but nothing, like, nothing else shows up again. That's why I was posting behind you all those poems over on the earlier show. Anyway, this is called Reflections by Daniel Duhame. Red molten glass mixed with goblin's blood gathered from the forest and poured into a mold to make a window. That was part of a witch's door on a house. Every night through the glass, visions appeared on the other side, revealing horrific scenes of torture. A woman put on a rack to have her bones and muscles pulled apart. On another night of looking through the window, a guillotine appeared as a poor unfortunate being was led to the gallows to lose their head, then displayed to a cheering crowd excited to see the spectacle. Then a witch was tied to a stake, with brush piled beneath and set on fire, as the flames melted her skins like some horrific candle. Only when the window pane was broken was the curse was lifted. End poem.
Great read there, Jean. I thought this was a great story, right? You know, visceral, it's dark, it's creepy, and quite creative. I really thought the opening lines, you know, with red molten glass mixed with goblin blood gathered from the forest and poured into a mold to make a window that was part of a witch's door on a house. That is really great. And, of course, you know, he brings in the classic witch. And but, you know, to have the idea of the window being made of, you know, goblin's blood, and it was just really cool. And on another night of looking through the window, a guillotine appeared as a poor unfortunate being was led to the gallows to lose its head. I like how he makes this window the centerpiece of horror. And within these lines, it's almost like all the dark horrors of the past are viewed through this window. Of course, another classic thing about this poem was the ending, because, you know, when he says, only when the window pane was broken that the curse was lifted. You know, there's always, you know, in so many classic fairy tales, a way to break the curse or to lift the curse. So great write and very well done. And your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was a great tale, a great written piece by Daniel, and a tale well told. I'm with you. I liked it. I liked the beginning because it explained things. You know, red molten glass mixed with goblin's blood gathered from the forest and poured into a mold to make a window that was part of a witch's door on a house. That goblin's blood and the red molten glass. You know, that's the goblin's blood, I'm sure, is where all the those visions came from. That's my thoughts. Every night through the glass, visions appeared on the other side, revealing horrific scenes of torture. I didn't pick up the rest of that stanza because each stanza had its own, like, little vision, you know. And I thought they were each well done. But it's just the fact that when you look through the window, that's what you saw. And I think that it was creative. It was really, I enjoyed the creativity in this piece. So nice work, and thank you so much for sharing with us, Daniel. Nice work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. All right. And let's see. Up next, we have Windows of Destruction by Jenny the Deep. Shimmering rays reflect off broken windows, exposing the impurities of what really happened. Glass shards cascading like waterfalls, shattering dreams a girl once had. If those walls could talk, they would say, look the other way, nothing here but grief. Beneath the floorboards, bodies are decaying. Lingering is an engulfing stench of death. Shades of gloom shadows the room. Through the roof, turbulence wreaks havoc. Families disappear through the night, leaving knives and carpets stained red. A glass house crumbles and breaks. Only rubble remains as nightmares perspire. Evaporating are the memories of the innocent as their blood condensates window panes. End poem. And what an excellent dark write by Jenny the Deep. And your thoughts, Jean?
Wow. It's a great piece. It really is. First off, I like this piece with the image very much. You have the broken glass and the window and, the broken frames or framework. And the way she started this, I thought was excellent. Shimmering rays reflect off broken windows, exposing the impurities of what really happened. Glass shards cascading like waterfalls, shattering dreams a girl once had. If these walls could talk, they would say, look the other way, nothing here but grief. Beneath the floorboards, bodies are decaying. Lingering is an engulfing stench of death. Like, wow, it's a great dark write. It has a lot of imagery that's very well done. I think that Jenny really did a nice job with this piece, and I think it was a great take on the prompt. So a great title too, Windows of Destruction. So great job, Jenny, and thanks for sharing with us.
Absolutely. And yes, you're right. The imagery in this is visceral. It's excellent. Dark, right? Great take on the chosen prompt. And the title really works well with the prompt because it's a black and white picture of a broken window. And so you feel like the broken window is a representation of the broken bodies and minds that have that are behind it. I really like this all the way through, but I have to say some of my favorite parts were when she says, if those walls could talk, they would say, look the other way, nothing here but grief. Beneath the floorboards, bodies are decaying, lingering in an engulfing stench of death. I like that she brings in the engulfing stench of death, not just the visual imagery of death, but the way it rots and stinks. I also like the phrase, a glass house crumbles and breaks. I thought that, kind of a reflection on the saying, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So you have to wonder about the idea of the violence that went in, within this family that lived behind these doors and these windows. Well, just a wonderful dark light and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. And up next we have Dark Shadows by Betty Page. And go ahead, please, Jean.
Sure. Dark Shadows by Betty Page. She sits in her room, cursed the antique porcelain dolls, chit-chat over tea. Art Nouveau decor, Tiffany lamps illumined, phonograph spins round. Old-time music plays. She paints art in bright colors, melancholy world. Every day is the same. I see her gaze through windows. She still haunts my soul. Knows not that she's dead. Lives in the house on the hill, abandoned for years. So long ago now, she had such a tragic end, trapped in her room, raped. Pretty teen kidnapped. Occult leaders took her there, a virgin sacrificed. I still see her face. A dark shadows consume her. As dark shadows consume her, her screams echo fierce. She was kept alive, night after night. He would come, vicious incubus. Wicked on the prowl, like a wolf eating fresh meat, howls victorious. In the black forest, her screams are still heard today, near haunted castle. She peeks out windows, innocent girls screaming help in impure silence. Behind golden gates, just after midnight, they come, cruel dark shadows, searching for new prey, wandering the black in black forests, climbing through windows. Steals the innocent, kidnapped, moved to secret rooms to please the incubus. End the poem.
Great read, Jim, and a wonderful dark write by Betty. I really feel like Betty definitely did not hold back on the darkness. With her choice of imagery. I also like that she has such wonderful attention to detail, like where she says Art Nouveau, decor, Tiffany lamps, illumined, phonograph spins round, old-time music plays. So she sets the atmosphere with the decor and the old-time music, which I think works really well. And then she gets terrifyingly dark when she brings in the reality of occult leaders and people who are kidnapped or brought into a cult. Virgin sacrifice, I focused in on that also because it makes me think of the idea that throughout history, it seems there have been many religions and cultures which offer up virgins as sacrifices. And then she also goes into the mythology of it, of the darkness, the dark mythology of the incubus and the haunted castle. I also really like where she says, in the black forest, her screams are still heard today near haunted castle. She peeks out windows, innocent girls screaming help, and then pure silence. And I thought that was a nice, eerie touch to add to the story of the idea of the ghost of this girl screaming, and then the pure silence that follows her scream. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
I like this piece by Betty. To me, it was different because I'm not used to seeing Betty write dark, okay? Not for the most part. I've seen a few pieces through the years. But I thought it was a wonderful dark write, and the imagery was well done. And I thought the darkness was well written. I picked it up here. Old-time music plays. She paints art in bright colors. Melancholy world. Every day is the same. I see her gaze through windows, and she still haunts my soul. Knows not that she's dead and lives in the house on the hill, abandoned for years. So long ago now, she had such a tragic end. And I stopped right there. I thought that pretty much, it said a lot, you know, it said a lot. She spoke about her gazing through that window and how this vision haunts her soul, you know, and how she doesn't know she's dead. She lives on that house on the hill, that house on the hill still. And I think it didn't say that. Where the heck did I see that? It must have been another one. Oh, no, there it is. And I think that, you know, it was just a well-done piece, and I think Betty did a fine job. So thanks for sharing, Betty.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I like that you brought up the part about the the girl not knowing she's dead, because I think in many ghost stories, there is that oftentimes that element of those who have passed on not realizing that they have. So, very cool comment. And up next we have The Window to My Soul by Seas Whisper. And it goes like this. I look out my window, the imaginary, the imagery reflects apparition faces, watch. My soul, a darkness, solitary, flowing higher as moonlight touches an innermost consciousness, sublimation deeper, a void of an abysmal delve, a gray, a scattered ashes, in a casket laid. I'm afraid to look out the window. Now it causes me pain, agony, as fiery darts reach the cosmos. The window, lattice, metallic lead, morbidly dread, as mystical illusions are charade, dancing gothism. My subconscious will play in nightmares. Oh, the window, it lights by the moon in winter snow, but expressions are left unknown. Are left unspoken as winds moan. End poem. And the prompt that they were inspired by was the quote, "The window I gaze melancholy, but it holds my secrets, my moonlit echoes, and I dare not look out." I thought this was a wonderful write. This is a new person to me, or fairly new. I think I've only seen him like a couple of times. So I look forward to reading more of them and hope Seas Whisper is inspired for other shows. And your thoughts, Jean?
It's a great piece. The Window to My Soul. I like the title of this right there. And I'm looking for that section that I want to speak on. You know, I'm afraid to look out the window now. It causes me pain, agony, as fiery darts reach the cosmos. The window lattice, metallic lid, morbidly dread, as mystical illusions are a charade, dancing gothicism, wow, my subconscious will play in nightmares. On the window, it lights by the moon in winter snow. It's a great piece. It doesn't, what was I going to say? The window holds, but it holds my secrets. I'm like looking, trying to do it. I think the piece is well done. I love the way it's written. I think that each one of the stanzas is great. I'm not even sure that I want to call them each stanzas. You know, to me, the first part of this, the very first five lines, six lines, is to me, works out to be a stanza. And I think the other ones are just, it's kind of like a spider plant. You have the main plant, which is that six lines, and then these babies are hanging off of it. And they're just little bits that feed back into it a little bit. You know, it's not heavy, it's not dense, it's kind of loosely written. And I like that. And it gives you these tidbits to follow on, you know, of an abysmal delve of gray, a scattered ashes in a casket laid. Wow. You know, like it's just all this, all these thoughts, you know, and I'm trying to place that all into the soul. And it's great dark write. It really is. And I think I would like to read it a couple more times and kind of absorb some more of it and kind of put it all into, better thoughts, but it is great. I really like it a lot. I just wish I could speak on it better.
Wonderful comment, and I get that because it is one of those poems that really does need to be read more than once to really, you know, take it all in. I love the imagery in this, and the title was great, The Window to My Soul. And I like how the opening lines and really quite a bit of the poem reflects on the idea of looking inward on oneself. It's a very contemplative, right? It's t- time. I really liked what you had to say about comparing it to the spider plant, with the larger plant and the smaller ones hanging from it. I thought that was really cool. I really like where she said, or where they say, sublimation, deeper, a void of an abysmal delve, a grave, a scattered ashes in a casket laid. I'm afraid to look out the window now. It causes me pain, agony, as fiery darts reach the cosmos. I feel like in part, or maybe this might speak on, you know, depression and despair, and the fiery darts reach the cosmos. I feel like that's become the idea of shouting out your pain to the heavens, you know, the idea of just wanting to find someone or something to blame for the agony and the pain that you feel. But expressions are left unspoken as winds moan. You know, sometimes you just can't find the right words to express the depth of pain that you feel. And I think those end lines bring that thought out very well. So excellent, Dark Right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And up
no.
next we have
don't mind me. I felt like I'm being a little bit ornery. Okie dokie.
I get it. Yep. Up next we have Broken Windows by Sarah Evans. And go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read.
Okay. Broken Windows by Sarah Evans. Its vague shape holds in spite of the knocks and shocks, sliding slowly downward, vacant numbness gradually replacing the panes. Framework compromised, insulation from the real world ceased. A candle stub, snubbed by the guttering wind, though it could also resemble the crackpot, emptiness of an old demijohn under a weeping willow. Magpies and pigeons fly in beneath the glass guillotine, part cloud, part darkness, held by solid brick, crumbling delicately in the face of irresistible revolutionary forces. Phased dereliction under the fluttering wing of the next generation, harmed by intoxication and deficiencies, with no tolerance for broken windows. End poem.
Great read, Jean, and what a wonderful write by Sarah Evans. Her choice, her word choicing and her imagery choicing, I felt really gave this poem a haunting feel. And I learned a new word. I did not know a demijohn was a bulbous, narrow-necked bottle holding from 3 to 10 gallons of liquid, typically enclosed in a wicker cover. So I think I have seen them before. I just never realized that that was what they were called. I really like this one all the way through, and how she intertwines the shadowed world and the real world, you know, where she says framework compromise, insulation from the real world ceased, a candle stub snubbed by a guttering wind through it all also resembled the crackpot emptiness of an old demijohn under a weeping willow. I also like she brings in the imagery of the magpies and the pigeons because, you know, well, I don't know about magpies, but I know pigeons are often known to nest in abandoned buildings. And so I thought the magpies and pigeons fly was a great line on focusing on the idea that this building is abandoned. You know, and there's no human life there. It is simply the ghosts and the birds and the animals that have taken up home within it. Wonderful, wonderful, right? on the spirits that haunt from one generation to the next. So very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a great write and a wonderful reflection on the prompt. The broken windows. I mean, what more do you need to hear there, right? Its vague shape holds in spite of the knocks and shocks, sliding slowly downward, vacant numbness gradually replacing the pains. Framework compromised, insulation from the real world ceased. And I like how the magpies and the pigeons, she went to that other stanza, and magpies and pigeons fly in beneath the glass guillotine. That's a wonderful way of, it's a way of wording a window, a broken window is a glass guillotine, because, you know, it's sharp and it could fall at any second, you know. But part cloud, part darkness, held by solid brick. So she gives you that visual of the window complete. The building that holds it is brick. It's like a guillotine, and you see the pigeons and the magpies flying under it. But it gives you a new perspective on that. You know, to me, I see the glass as broken on a diagonal because of that description. Whenever you see a guillotine, it's cut on an angle. You know. Or, you know, shaped on an angle. So it gives me that. So I think the imagery in this was very well done. It was a good piece.
Absolutely. Yeah. And great observations there. Because, I hadn't thought of that. But the description of, you know, the guillotine, you know, and the angle really gives you, you're right, the idea of in which direction the window is broken. So very cool.
Yeah. Yes, good stuff.
Absolutely. And up next we have The Rule of Dolls by Becky Friend. And it goes like this. Tonight the light inside me fades slowly as dark shadows grow, shades of night beyond my window, slipping sideways between the deepening gray-green haze and the last slant of gold ore as it pours across the floor. My ribs fall and heave, but I can't breathe. Heartbeats cease, but still I hear the beats. Echoes of blood pulsing through a labyrinth of bone and tissues. My skin turned to bisque blue. Death stalks the twilight, scattering the ashes of women's rights. A world of sad figurine dolls and blinding darkness. Choice now is a chokehold, but my voice still screaming, struggling for posterity, while the knee of misogyny kneels gleefully on my neck. End poem. And what an excellent write by Betty Friend. I'm glad she was inspired. And your thoughts, Jean?
I think this was a good write, and Becky says in the bottom it was inspired by the image and the recent Supreme Court decision to overturn women's reproductive rights. So that takes in a lot of that last stanza. I was like, wow. You know, it says, death stalks the twilight, scattering the ashes of women's rights, a world of sad figurine dolls and blinding darkness, choice now in a chokehold by my voice still screaming, struggling for posterity, while the knee of misogyny kneels gleefully on my neck. And I think that was just a really well done stanza there, and very well stated. And, it brings in those dolls beautifully. And that is a creep. Dolls are creepy. I don't care what anybody says. You know, and I'm.
They are.
I don't want to sit in a room full of dolls. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, they're staring at me. Not really. I'm not really that weird about it, but they make me uncomfortable. So I think that, that's a great image, you know, for something a little creepy. But Becky, I think you did a great job with this piece. So well done, and a great incorporation of the Supreme Court and the image itself. So nicely penned.
Absolutely. great comment there. And yeah, it is. I like how she was inspired by both the photograph and current events. You know, just look at those dolls and see them metaphorically as, you know, the women without voices. And I agree, dolls are creepy. My teenager, she collects dolls. My mom did too. So she has, basically, she has all the dolls that her grandmother had, which is nice, you know, that she has those. But, you know, I joke around with her and I'm like, don't come crying to me when there's a doll standing over your bed with a knife.
Oh my God.
But no, I thought this was really a great write all the way through. Love the imagery and the metaphors. I really like between the deepening gray-green haze, the last slant of gold ore as it pours across the floor. You know, what a wonderful way to describe the fading light. My ribs fall and heave, but I can't breathe. Heartbeats cease, but still I hear the beats. Echoes of blood pulsing through a labyrinth of bone and tissue. My skin turned to bisque blue. You know, the idea of, you know, those lines speaking on taking away somebody's humanity. There's such a sense of despair and pain within those lines. Really an amazing, thought-provoking, dark write on society, and very well done. It's been interesting to see the variety of responses to the topic of windows.
Different windows are like doors. You know, when you look at them, the possibility of what's on the other side is always vast. You know, and because it's Halloween week, you can take that just anywhere you want to go. You know, you can take, you know, you can go dark, you can go light, you know, you can go happy, you can go sad. I mean, it's just, you open it up and there it is. Everything is there. I think that great prompts and the images I've been seeing are really, really nicely done. So, yeah, it is amazing how you can get so much out of something. I like a window. It just is, you know. And I found that to be the same way with the doors. When you get those door images, it's always kind of like, wow, check that out. You know, people go everywhere, all kinds of directions.
They really do go all kinds, yes. And you're right, because windows isn't a complex topic. It's pretty simple.
No.
It's pretty straightforward, but yet there is different ways you can take it, just like the doors. And, you know, the thing is with windows, you always get a little bit of a peek about what's inside, but you don't get the full view. And plus you don't get an explanation. Like, you know, you see a picture of, like, dolls in a window, and, yeah, it could be that, you know, the person who just likes to collect dolls. But there could also be a bigger backstory, you know?
Well, you know, you said the windows, the complexity of the windows, they're not complex, but the complexity and the right prompted by the window is all in the writer's imagination. You know, that's what's so cool about it, because they can go just as far as they can go. And I think that's really cool about it, you know, because we can all just express it to our own extremes. So that's why it's a great prompt, because it does just give us free rein. You know, we can just do whatever we want. And I like that. So it makes it a wonderful prompt.
Absolutely. Me too. Very cool. Well,
it's all good.
Up next, we have Spectre by Dot Wright. And it goes like, wait, did I read the last one? I did, didn't I?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Yes, you did. You read Becky Friend.
I did. So if you would please read Spectre by Dot Wright.
Okay. This is Spectre by Dot Wright. Like Bam said. Obsidian eyes glowing behind broken window pane. Phantom sprite descends, face framed by jagged spikes. casualty of defeated life, abysmal being, foul and fetid. From its perch inside the window, cocks its head and raises brow, watching children play in the land of what might have been. Places skeletal handprints on wavy glass, a funhouse mirror streaked with wrath. Comes a tapping, hungry yearning, let me out, scattered words, longing, burning, howling night all unheard. Dry leaves crackle, spinning, whirling, wingless nightbirds sing in bitter ink smeared sky. Moon is bleeding, musty light. Spectre pounding behind its crystal cage. Stealthy silhouette, ghost of time, creeping fast. Hot breath of hell, inferno blasts and burns, scorches pane of glass. Vapor rising, steam hissing, spirit screaming. End poem.
Great read there, Jean. And a wonderful write by Dot Wright. And I have to comment, first of all, on her playing with the photograph, because if you notice, she actually wrote to the same picture that Jenny the Deep did, but she flipped it, and where the broken glass is up in the corner, she put a handprint. So I thought, yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that,
right.
You know, when people play around with photography. You know, and this had amazing imagery. I like that, she makes it a write about, you know, the haunting of a house. You know, there's something particularly scary about the idea of the ghosts of children. I really like casualty of defeated life, abysmal being, foul and fetid. From its perch inside the window, cocks its head and raises brow, watching children play in the land of what might have been. So this is the idea of the ghosts of the past. I like the way she allowed her stanzas and lines to kind of, you know, flow, to be staggered back and forth to create a sense of movement. I also really like, come a tapping, hungry yearning, let me out, scattered words, longing, burning, howling night, all unheard. I think there's something within this imagery and within her word choices, you know, with certain rhyming words, like, you know, or, you know, flow of words, like within those stanzas that I just read, that really to me have a nice Edgar Allan Poe type vibe to them. You know, maybe not exactly his rhyme and his, you know, rhyme schemes, but there was definitely, to me, something in her word choices and in her presentation that spoke on Edgar Allan Poe. So, yeah, I really like how this poem speaks on the ghosts of the past. Wonderful write and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
I'm working on having thoughts. I thought this was a nicely penned piece by Dot and a great take on the prompt. I like how she started out, obsidian eyes glowing behind broken window pane. Phantom sprite descends, face framed by jagged spikes. Casualty of defeated life, abysmal being foul and fetid. From its perch inside the window, cocks its head and raises brow, watching children play in the land of what might have been. I love that. I love that land of what might have been. Something about that. I just like the sound of that. And, you know, I mean, that whole thing, I should have gone up a little bit. Watching children play in the land of what might have been. Places skeletal handprints on wavy glass, a funhouse mirror streaked with wrath. Comes a tapping, hungry yearning. Let me out, scattered words, longing, burning, howling night, all unheard. You know, funhouse mirrors, they're strange things. You know, they twist things. They I don't know, they just, it's an eerie thing for me to think of a funhouse mirror. Because if you're ever in the house of mirrors, it's a strange thing, because everywhere you turn, you know, you see yourself, but you see yourself in different the reflections are all different. Seeing different bits of you know, you're twisted, you're skinny, you're fat, you're short, you're tall. And it's very, unsettling. That's a good word, I think, unsettling. And I think that that brings out another element in this piece as well. You know, I mean, some people say, oh, well, it's about windows, not mirrors. But it's all, it all runs together. You know, it's its own kind of funhouse mirror, you know, the handprints on the glass. So I think that it was just really well done. You know, I wish I was a little more articulate, but I'm starting to fade fast. Sorry.
I get it. Well, it's not easy. It is really not easy to have the energy and the mindset to comment on poetry at 1:40 in the morning, I will admit. You know, but
I'll keep trying. We'll figure it out.
I appreciate it. But I did like what you had to say about the funhouse mirrors. I actually have never been to funhouse mirrors in my life, but, you know, from what I've seen and what I've read about them, and I like what you had to say, because really it is a distorted perspective of ourselves. And so using the funhouse mirrors in the idea in the poem is the idea of a distorted reflection of self and a distorted reflections of life and how it just, it's so difficult to make sense of it all.
Right. You know? The distortion is, the distortion is what makes it so unsettling, because, you know, you feel like all turned around. And, you know, if you were in a strange situation or a haunted situation with broken windows, I can imagine having that same kind of disoriented kind of thing going on, because you're trying to like make sense of it all. And I don't know. I just thought that was a really good, great idea to put that in there. So yeah, it was good. It was a good piece by Dot. I give her that. Absolutely.
It definitely was. Yes. Great writing.
Mm-hmm.
And up next we have Too Long for Longer Nights by Postwoman. And it goes like this. Outside the window, two leaves caress the anticipation of cold, and the tree stands sentinel, only its spine bends to a slow sliver of sun that vacates the air every 5 seconds, while tea stills like mountains, tall cups freeze on the table, the cusp of palms warmed but not for long, because beverages don't bear the burden of brows tired with the whispers of the winding ways of metaphorical meanderings. But I told you, use and so what must be done. And meanwhile, the season changes shawls quietly without much consequence. And we respond, but with occasional disobedience and sleepy reminders to the futility of finding future prospects in our crazy crash of sunshine that will be gone by the time the only lights are the municipality lamps and our festivals have long ended, leaving a slim trail of strange scents that intoxicate our needs for more love. The chewed end of a balloon's tail adds a saffron twist to the dry roadside gutter, and the vendors leave in a long line like a procession of pilgrims. End poem. And what a beautiful write. And your thoughts, Gene?
Well, I have to go back up. I got hung up on one thing and started writing something down. Outside the window, two leaves caress the anticipation of cold, and the tree stands sentinel. Only its spine bends to a slow sliver of sun that vacates the air every 5 seconds, while tea stills like mountains. Tall cups freeze on the table. the cusp of palms warm, but not for long, because beverages don't bear the burden of brows tired by the whisper with the whispers of the winding ways of metaphorical meanderings. I love the sound of these words. There's alliteration. It's not heavy alliteration, but there's enough to really you kind of catch it, you know, but it's not in your face. And I like that. Especially here, because beverages don't bear the burden of brows tired with the whispers of the winding ways of metaphorical meanderings. I think that's, they're great lines right there. And I enjoyed that. And I liked the way this piece started out outside the window. That's really well done. But there's like so much going on in here. I like this too. And sleepy reminders to the futility of finding future prospects in our crazy crash of sunshine that will be gone by the time the only lights are the municipality lamps and our festivals have long ended, leaving a slim trail of strange scents that intoxicate our needs for more love. I don't know. I think the whole thing is great. There's something about it that I really can't put my finger on, but it's just good writing and it's well done. And I guess my thing is, I don't know, 4 and 7. I don't know what prompts 4 and 7 are. Maybe that's what my problem is. You know, I don't, because I'm trying to see window in my mind.
And my memory is so bad, I have to go look. I never memorize my own prompts.
I get it.
Well, there's one quote. He's always looking out windows, contemplating something. And 7 was also a quote. There was cold sunlight outside the window.
Okay. Then this really did meet the prompts beautifully, because there's references to both of those in here. It's not direct references or quotes or anything like that, but it's talking about the sliver of sunshine, slow sliver of sun that vacates the air every 5 seconds while tea still like mountains. Okay. I'm getting it out. Okay, I feel better. Thank you, Pam, for checking it out. By the time I go over and check things out, I'm totally behind. But I think this was just beautifully done. Wonderful lines throughout and great thoughts. And now that you've told me what the prompts are, I think that they were – it's a great reflection of the prompts. I keep using that word reflection because we're talking about glass. Oh, my God. Yeah. But yeah, just I think that it was a fine job. Well done.
It really was. It really was, and it was a great reflection of the prompt. And I think, you know, it worked really well. And I like that she opens up with the line outside the window. You know, so you get the whole idea of somebody standing inside their home, you know, looking out the window, and you know, it's. I was actually looking at Post Woman's All Poetry picture that she uses, which is actually appears to be a front of a building with a door and a boarded up window. So I thought, well, this was kind of a great contest for her to write to.
Yeah, right.
It fits so well with her All Poetry picture that she uses.
Right. That's excellent.
Yeah. But this has amazing imagery and metaphors. I love the shaping of her poem, the way her lines flow. And as you were mentioning, there is this great, nice, gentle touch of alliteration, you know, especially with whispers of the winding ways of metaphorical meanderings. I like that. And I like the wordplay within this. And I like how it's speaks on how at first, you know, the first part is about what is seen in the light, and then there becomes the fading of the light, you know, and where she says that future prospects in our crazy crash of sunshine that will be gone by the time the only lights of the municipality lamps and our festivals have long ended, leaving a slim trail of strange scents that intoxicate. You know, is that it reminds me, it makes me think of the whole idea. Like, I don't know about other people, but for me, like after the holidays, I tend to, you know, get kind of down a little bit because, you know, you have all this stuff going on, and then you go back to regular life. And I think in part those lines to speak on the despair felt after the light of the festivities is gone. So
right.
Wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Nice.
And our next write is a pre-write that was shared with me on the topic that fit with the topic of windows. And it is Haunted by Halloween's Past by Gary Rubin. And go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read.
I would. I have to find this dude. There, I found us. Never mind. I'll be good.
Hooray!
Now. Hooray for Hollywood. Haunted by Halloween's Past by Gary Rubin. Every All Hallows Eve is another Charles Dickens tragic story in brevity form, ushered in from childhood flashbacks of an old spinster that lived alone in a rundown, tired Victorian house. Neighborhood children would get hauntingly brief glimpses of her. Ghostly thin, her frail body was topped with long, wispy white hair. She skeletally appeared mysteriously on the hottest days of summer, overdressed in a black long-sleeve woolen dress. She seemed to move as a mirage wavering in the heat. The gardens were overgrown with bittersweet vines and thistles. The sun would weave through the thickets to glint off of a rusted metal mansard roof. She hid in the shadows from the sun, toiling with no discernible purpose. Older children would scare their siblings with claims she had slowly been digging her own grave. Every kid was frightened by the house. One stormy, angry All Hallows Eve night, she died alone. Undertakers drove a black hearse onto the cobblestone driveway to remove her in the middle of the next night, a for sale sign went up. Nobody purchased the house. The old bones creaked and the roof whistled a shrill cry in the wind. Neighborhood children continued to obey the keep out signs. One Halloween, a brazen boy braved the jagged cast iron pickets and climbed into the yard. This lad threw rocks through most of the single-paned windows. He never returned home that night and went missing. Some thought he was a runaway. Others knew better. Nobody ever trespassed through the gates again. But on still, windless nights, you can see yellowed curtains restlessly flapping through the broken glass. End poem. Great story.
That was absolutely. I was really glad that Gary shared this with us. I thought it fit well with the theme of windows. It was definitely a great dark storytelling. I like the nod to Charles Dickens because, you know, Charles Dickens was known for writing some dark tales. You know, I think oftentimes he's underappreciated for his ability to write darkness. But yeah, great opening lines. I really like how this is dark, and yet there's a kind of a nostalgia to it, too, because I think all of us from our childhood have that neighborhood house that, you know, everybody said was haunted, or that neighborhood woman that everybody said was a witch, or those terrifying stories that were either urban legends or sadly true, you know, or a combination of the two. I really like the opening lines and the imagery of she seemed to move as a mirage wavering in the heat. The gardens were overgrown with bittersweet vines and thistles. The sun would weave through the thickets to glint off a rusted metal mansard roof. She hid in the shadows. And it just keeps getting more dark and more creepy, especially, you know, as it gets towards the end, you know, one Halloween, a brazen boy braved the jagged cast iron pickets, and then he never returned home that night and went missing. Some thought he was a runaway. Others knew better. And I think the element of mystery, like the fact that, you know, Gary doesn't specifically say what happened to the character, but kind of, like, gives hints and leaves it, like, this element of mystery that allows the reader's mind to contemplate and wonder. You know, so great dark tale and very well done. And your thoughts, Gene?
Oh, shoot. I was supposed to give you a comment on that. Yes. I'm okay here. I really am. It was a great story told by Gary, really. I thought there was great imagery, and it was wonderfully detailed. I think it was a wonderful piece of Halloween darkness and well done. Yeah, it was a good story. It really was. It was very descriptive. And I like that because as I was reading, he was just building it a little more and a little more. And there was a lot in there about this woman and, you know, over the course of this, the lines. And then, you know, after the little boy climbed the fence, well, goodbye, little boy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
He shouldn't have done that. But no, I think it was just a well-done piece and a great story told. So thank you so, so much, Gary Rubin. Nice work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely great writing. And that was the end of our Windows-inspired write. So now we're going to go on to the second contest, which was the artwork of Pam Wishbow, who I highly recommend checking out. I really like her artwork. It's like dark and quirky and creepy and, you know, perfect for this time of year. It unfortunately did not have great response as far as quantity goes. Like, and I only got 5 writes for it, but they were 5 just, you know, great writes. And, you know, so, but, you know, such is how it goes sometimes when it comes to contests. You just never know what people will respond to. But I do, like I said, highly recommend checking out her artwork. And this is A Deathless Merciless Crew by Liquid Mind Forever. And it goes like this. A deathless, merciless crew behind the eight ball as night befalls. Sinister fingers, Malinger, intrepid, they crawl. Vultures on impulse, convulsed, writhing, they maul. Nobody safe as wraith, prey the small. All heaven and earth know the scent of cadavers as bats loose the grip from the bell tower rafters. The goons and the ghouls crack silence with laughter. Fortune beholds fools' unruly, cruel banter. The crone, she's in stitches, her niches, rich bones, soothsayers, purveyors of echoes and moans, Black Sabbath triptych with witch panel and tones, skulls white as lightning astride on black roans, flesh in the marrow with arrows shot through, morbid cantations as death rations her view, taunting and haunting their eyeballs askew, as Prince born of darkness watches darkness secure the crew. In lieu of the few and true of many who knew secrets of dying while sky and revelation stew, fly off on a tangent with banshees you view. Lickety split, best you get a remedy or two. Remember this night, its deathless, merciless crew. It's cauldrons, kidnappers, as they frighten, as the frightened turn blue, end poem. And I thought this one was a great write on the chosen artwork. I gave this one the gold in the contest because of her strong use of imagery and metaphors and the dark lines within. And I'll comment further, but first, your thoughts, Jean.
Oh, I was doing fine with you commenting. I thought the piece was really good. You know, A Deathless Merciless Crew. And then she goes on, behind the eight ball as night befalls, sinister fingers malinger, intrepid they crawl. Vultures on impulse convulse, writhing they maul. Nobody's safe as wraiths prey the small. All heaven and earth know the scent of cadavers as bats loose their grip from the bell tower rafters. The goons and the ghouls crack silence with laughter. Fortune beholds fools, unruly, cruel banter. You know, Deborah's work, when she gets writing, you know, she has, I don't know how hard she actually works to make this sound like this, but I guess it's easy for me to say that she makes it look so easy. You know, words just don't, like, happen like that, but I have a feeling that they might happen like that for her. I think that she's got a natural ability to make these rhymes, internal end rhymes, all this. She pulls it all together. And I think for her, it's probably not as complicated as it would be for me, because I would really have to stop and think it through. And maybe she's just a more patient woman than I, because I think if it really was as hard for her to do as it appears it's hard for her to do, I don't know. Like, that's a lot of work, a lot of work. And I know she can kick out poems quick, and I give her credit on that, you know. I think that it's wonderful. I love that rhyme that she uses, and how she just makes it seem effortless. And when you go to read it, it's not effortless sometimes, because you really have to kind of stay within that sway she has going in the words. But it's a great piece, really. It is. And I can see why it ran gold. Why it won gold. Oh, my word. Yeah. I'm making
bringing in the gold.
Bringing in the gold. There you go. But, yeah, there's a lot of great lines and great stanzas to this. So, well done piece, Deborah, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely, and great comment, Jean. Yeah, I really like the inner and end rhyme, the imagery and metaphors, the wordplay, which she does so well and quite often, you know, which is good. And I, you know what, I agree with you. She seems to have a natural ability, but at the same time, you know, it probably does take some thought and polish, you know, to
right.
put up poems like this, you know, which... But, yeah, she is definitely a gifted poet, no doubt about that. I really like the crone she's in stitches, her niches, rich bones, soothsayers, purveyors of echoes and moans, black Sabbath triptych, witch, panel and tones, skulls white as lightning astride on black roans. I thought, what a great way to describe, the dark, haunting imagery of a Halloween night. You know, I like that she brings in all these mysterious sights and sounds. And in lieu of the few and true of many who knew, secrets of dying while scrying revelations stew, fly off on a tangent with banshees you view, lickety-split, best you get a remedy or two. I like that. It makes me think of, you know, the whole idea of, you know, that we were talking about in the earlier show, the witches finding the remedy or perhaps even finding your own way out of the darkness. Clever write and very well done. And let's see what we have next. Sorry, I got distracted. Up next we have Magical Halloween by Betty Page. I'm sorry, Jean, would you give that a read, please?
Jean, yeah, that's me, Jean. I don't even know how I am. You know it's getting late. She doesn't know what my name is. Hang on, here we go. Oh, here I go again. Okay. Oh, written to the same prompt. Magical Halloween by Betty Page. Enchanting secrets, bubbling cauldrons, dark potions, blood drips glistening. Spills on her soft breast, fangs tear away at her prey. Wolves howl in the moonlight. Enchanting dark spells, dimly lit, haunted ballrooms, twirling ghosts dance. Beautiful full moon shining in her windows, illuminating. Glass jars of all kinds, alchemist books on her shelves, she conjures up spells. Aromatic scents tainted highly poisonous, jewelry tired colors. Some of bright neon mystical magic abounds, sparkles hypnotic. Black cats prancing round, tarot cards, sharp pentagrams, bright jack-o'-lanterns. Colorful bottles, herbs and sage, rosemary thyme, mystical incense. Coffee ground teacups, aromatic tea satchels, seashells, colored glass. Treasures of the sea, pirates' maps, history books, charts of every kind. Stars, astronomy, astrology, zodiac, true ancient wisdom. Ancient vampires ascend from this haunted house. Halloween's magic. End poem.
Great read, Jean. And a wonderful write by Betty. I gave Betty the silver this one because I felt like it was a great take on her chosen prompt, which is a picture of a skeleton petting their cat, which I thought was adorable. But they got a Ouija board in front of them, and there's a pentagram, and all kinds of, like, vials and stuff that could be magic. I mean, there's even the magic eight ball that you shake and ask questions. And I felt like she brought those elements into her poem quite well. You know, strong imagery and metaphors. I like how she writes on the spirits and creatures of the night that really has a, you know, within the haunted house, but also because, you know, there is something about this time of year that is just magical. You feel like if any time of year magic would be possible, it would be during this time of year. I really like the imagery in aromatic scents, tainted, highly poisonous, dark jewelry, tired colors, some of bright neon, mystical magic abounds, sparkles hypnotic, black cats prancing around, tarot cards, sharp pentagrams, bright jack-o'-lanterns. You know, she really brings it all in to create an atmosphere and to paint a picture with her words. So wonderful write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, shoot. You'd laugh if you knew what my brain was doing. I thought it was a great write by Betty and very well done. I thought there were great lines all the way through, and I enjoyed the piece. It's a well-deserved silver, that's for sure. You know, Betty's got this just unique way of writing. You know, I think these are 5.75s.
Yes, yeah, I think they are too.
And, you know, she has such a great way of doing chains of those. I don't know if I could do that. You know, I can do them like 5.75s. She does it so much. She must really have a comfort level with it. And I don't know if I want to count all those syllables every time I did a poem, but she does it and she does it well. And she doesn't miss the mark with it. And I admire that a lot, but I do. I like the imagery throughout. And I think, it was a great take on that prompt as well. I have to agree with you there. So well-deserved silver and way to go, Betty. That I got to read it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great comment. And up next, we have Consecrated Circle by K.F. Heartless, who was the bronze winner in the contest. And it goes like this. After a badly broken spell and the ascension of a white crushed pill, our ritual is halted by a round of righteous bells, followed by bickering crows arguing over the dorm room windowsill. sensing the mood, I ask the board, who here is of another world, which is followed by the manic rattling of tiny plastic skulls. We hold our breaths as the planchette frantically swirls, as if invisible hands be for its control. It's the chaos of burnt plastic. In the chaos of burnt plastic and a rapidly swiveling hole, I catch the letters H-E-L-L, but there's no O. And when it stops, one lone crow taps against the newly cracked dorm window, staring through us as if we're ghosts, and it is busy memorizing enemy faces. End poem. And Dean, your thoughts?
Wow, great piece. And, you know, it carries that edge for darkness, you know. I mean, Ouija boards, not everybody's like, you know, real cool with those. Absolutely. Sensing the mood, I asked the board, who here is of the another world, which is followed by a manic rattling of a tiny plastic skull. We hold our breath as the planchette frantically swirls, as if the invisible hands vie for its control. In the chaos of burnt plastic and a rapidly swiveling hole, I catch the letters H-E-L-L, but there's no O. And when it stops, one lone crow taps against the newly cracked dorm window, staring through us as if we're ghosts and it's busy memorizing enemy faces. That is like kind of crazy. You know, you imagine something strange like this experience happening with this Ouija board. And then all of a sudden you hear it tapping at the window and there's a crow staring in it too. I think that would be a little freaky. So I think this was well done. I think it was a well thought out little bit of darkness to get everybody's blood pumping. And yeah, I think it was just a nice piece. So great job, KF Heartless.
It was, yeah. I like how she brings us into the fear and the terror of the moment. As you were saying, you know, I mean, I think, honest to goodness, I would just, I would be petrified if
be
I was
holding my breath.
You know, yeah, and you know, a crow comes knocking at the window just at that moment. Oh my gosh. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I did not know that the thing that you. That's supposed to move around was called a planchette.
Yes.
So that was really cool to learn something new. But I liked how this was a wonderful, haunting, and eerie rite on reaching out to the spirit world and unfortunately bringing back things that you necessarily didn't want to. And I like that she brings in the lone crow at the end with the idea that the crow is oftentimes seen as a messenger of death, you know. I remember it was like, what was it, back in like the 70s and 80s, Ouija boards were really big, and it was like you got one by like the Parker Brothers or whatever, who made, and like with every other game your family had, it was like Monopoly, Clue, all those things, and then all of a sudden there was the Ouija board.
Absolutely.
Yeah, odd great times, I tell you. But, great writing there by Kay.
Yep, yep.
All right.
Yeah.
And let's see what we have next.
Mm-hmm.
We have He Hung My Heart Out to Dry by Jenny the Deep. And go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read.
Okay. Maybe he's really big because I can barely see. He Hung My Heart Out to Dry by Jenny the Deep. I offered my heart to you on an olive branch, waited for eternity for you to reach back, exoskeletally I'm on my knees. I'm begging you to release me. Return my life back to me. Don't let me die. Stop hanging my heart out to dry. I wore it on my sleeve for too long. Now to you is where it belongs. You have cut me to pieces with words. Yes, you were the worst. Now 6 feet under, I am haunting your world with my heart still broken and torn. End poem.
Wow. Great read, Jean, and a wonderful emotive write by Jenny. I like how she goes with an emotional darkness within this, the idea of reaching out to somebody, giving, offering them your heart in peace and love. And I really especially like the second stanza, return my life back to me, don't let me die. Stop hanging my heart out to dry. I wore it on my sleeve far for too long. Now to you is where it belongs. You know, and there's such a sense of longing within those lines. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
Yeah, I thought this was a great reflection of the prompt. When I looked at the image, after I read it, I looked up and I went, yeah, I think she really nailed it. I thought she captured it really well. And I started out with, return my life back to me. Don't let me die. Stop hanging my heart out to dry. I wore it on my sleeve for too long. Now to you is where it belongs. You have cut me to pieces with words. Yes, you were the worst. Now 6 feet under, I am haunting your world with my heart still broken and torn. Yeah, you know, you better hope you don't, like, tear me all up before I die, because I might have to come back and haunt you. And it wouldn't be fun, you know, because that's just me. Sometimes you got to get even.
Yeah, I get it.
You know. I think it was a great write. So nice job there, Jenny. Absolutely.
And, yep, for sure. Great comment. And up next we have Dare by My Angel 3. And it goes like this. Here's a thought he can't conceive. The darkness came on All Hallows Eve to show how spirits never die. He can't perceive, but he can cry. And cry he may, and cry he might, he cry all day till dead of night. The tears, they clear his pain astray for all the things he dared not say. He dared not say he's ever wrong, nor humbly admit defeat. He dared not say he's sorry, not even for a trick or treat. He dared not say he loved her, he couldn't find the strength, no matter how it tore him. His mind is too hell-bent. Dare not lay down defenses, for everyone is his enemy. Through it all, though it is all illusion, it's all his mind can see. He took the dark and negative. He swore it would prevail. A stolen kiss in his abyss, no more chapters to this tale. Here's a notion he can't conceive. We make our own good luck. For when it is All Hallows Eve, his mind still runs amok. A man is just a man, though, if he turns from his own soul. Not even spirits from beyond can heal his dark shadow. Not even if a pumpkin spoke and knocked him off his throne, he'd still see life as jaded and cry that he's alone. He reminds her of a pumpkin carved out and laid to bear. He can't conceive of All Hallows Eve. In fact, he would not dare. End poem. And your thoughts, Jean?
Holy mackerel. She wants me to be quick about it, too. I like this. I do. I think it was a good take on the prompt. But here's a thought he can't conceive. The darkness came on All Hallows Eve. To show how spirits never die, he can't perceive, but he can cry. And cry he may, and cry he might, he'd cry all day till dead of night. The tears, they clear his pain astray for all the things he dared not say. I loved the rhyme in this. I loved the meter of it. I think it was well put together. I just think it was really well done. It had a lot going on in it, but the rhyme I really liked because it gave it a certain feel when you read it, and I liked that. So, well done, absolutely, and thanks for sharing with us tonight. Absolutely,
yeah.
Positively. Mm-hmm. My angels, good job.
Yes, For sure, for sure. Yeah, I was glad she was inspired. But yeah, this is a great rhyming poem. And I like the use of repetition and how one line at stanza leads really well into the next. Great storytelling. And I like how it speaks on the idea of someone who betrays their own soul. There's almost a sense of madness within it. And, you know, the idea of someone who has no understanding of the spirit realm. And I really like, here's a notion he can't conceive. We make our own good luck, for when it is All Hallows Eve, his mind still runs amok. A man is just a man, though, if he turns from his own soul, not even spirits from beyond can heal his dark shadow. You know, if we turn against ourselves, you know, there truly is nothing that can heal us. So beautiful, thoughtful, right, and very well done. And that was the last right in the Pam Wishbowl contest. And now we're going to go and start maybe try to get one or two in from the third contest, which is the painting, The Ghost, Ghosts on the Tree by Franz Sadelecek. And I'm going to go ahead, and because I did see her peek in, I'm going to put up Darkened Aura's poem, which is Free Bound Vessels. And let's see here. Who read? Yeah, I read the last one. So would you go ahead, please, Jean, and give that a read for us?
Absolutely. Free Bound Vessels by Darkened Auras. I love the image. Upon the gnarled branches of an ancient tree and cascades of moonlight, do you see? It's not a flock of crows all huddled close. No, what you're seeing is far more morose. Once bodies hung in law decreed, vessels broken in by hysteria greed, freeing the spirits but binding some here. It's said they appear when an execution is near. You hear that, my friends? That's angry. That's one angry mob. They're hunting you. Which? Is that your heart I hear throb? Whether guilty or innocent, you'll be joining them soon. Even a spell of shielding won't make you immune. Don't worry, my dear, you won't be the last. The ghosts you're seeing right now, they're from many years past. End poem.
Great, great read, Jean, and what a wonderful write by Darkened Auras. Yeah, I saw that painting, and I thought, you know what, I have to run a contest on it and see how it inspires people, because it's so intriguing the way that the ghosts in the tree, you know, at first glance, it looks like vultures, and then as you make the picture bigger, or if you're lucky enough to have a bigger view of the painting, you see that it's the ghosts with, like, skulls as their heads. And I really felt like Darkened Auras did a great job of drawing in that element of the painting. I really like, it's not a flock of crows all huddled close. No, what you're seeing is far more morose. Once bodies hung by law decreed, vessels broken by hysteria greed. And I really thought she went wonderfully dark, delving into the history of hangings, you know, public hangings and executions and persecution. You hear that, my friend, that one angry mob, they're hunting you, which is that your heart I hear throb. Wonderful line, delving into a history of violence and the hauntings which come from the hangings of both the innocent and the guilty. So wonderful dark right and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was a nice piece by Christine. Excellent reflection on the chosen prompt. Great rhyme and meter, and just really wonderful work all the way around. I loved her use of couplets. I think that, you know, added something to it. And I have to say that it was a good something, you know. I think that there was a great great flow to the read. And there was something else I was going to say. I started to grab up the lines. That's what it was. I had to take it from the beginning. Well, no, maybe I didn't. Yes, I did. Upon the gnarled branches of an ancient tree and in cascades of moonlight, do you see? It's not a flock of crows all huddled close. No, what you're seeing is far more morose. Once bodies hung in law by law decreed, vessels broken by hysteria greed, freeing the spirits but binding some here, it's said that they appear when an execution is near. Yeah, great job. I really liked it. So,
Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful, right? And great comment. And I think we can fit in one more short one from the same contest, and then the rest will be carryovers, and I will let people know, what show or shows they'll be carried over to. And we have Beyond by Garan Wee. Lost on boughs of time shadows, sitting like hanging bats, waiting for a haunting moon cloaked in habits of disguise, rays in drifting darkness, flying through thoughts and beams and dreams, dancing ceiling shapes behind tight-closed eyes of insomnia. From hinterlands, trees of time, perched like hands of clocks, waiting for bells of a haunted midnight chime, a ghost collective for dark nights, a choir of visions not heard, floating outlines as ghosts of hope that there is another out there, end poem. And what wonderful thought-provoking lines, and haunting and eerie, and your thoughts, Jean.
Are all these in the same prompt, Pam? They all have the one same image?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, this is great. I kind of thought maybe it was because, kind of was leading me there, but I just wanted to be sure I asked. Yeah, I think this was a great piece. It's a wonderful brevity, a nice, compact, dense brevity. Well done. Well, wonderfully dark. It was a great piece. Well thought out and clever. So thank you, Garanwe. This is well done and, great share.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And I love the one-word title, Beyond, like as if we're looking beyond what is right in front of our eyes. I like the use of the word hinterlands. From hinterlands, trees of time perched like hands of clocks. I thought, this is a wonderful write on the idea of how haunting and tormenting the passing of time can be. I also really like the end lines with a ghost collective for dark nights, a choir of visions not heard. The thought of the ghosts reaching out to find, to hear others like themselves. In hopes of finding that connection. So a wonderful, dark, haunting write and very well done. And thank you so much, Jean, for being here with me. I enjoyed being with you the whole night. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Thank you to Dark and Doris for hanging on the board. Very cool. You can join us tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, for open poetry, well, not open poetry, Halloween poetry, with Pull My Eyes and Company. Then you can join us in Louisiana for Saturday, 12:30 a.m., for Part Sinner, Part Saint. The whole rest of the week is filled with a great lineup of shows for our Halloween week. And so make sure to check the contest and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And anything that you'd like to add, Jean?
No. Great night of poetry, Pam. We've had a lot of fun, you and I. And yes, I look forward to the 10 o'clock show tonight, followed by Faziana. And then we have Captain B2 on Saturday. So I'll be looking forward to seeing everybody. I'll be around. And thank God tomorrow's Friday. Thank God today's Friday. TGI. Yeah. No early morning on Saturday. Have a great night, Pam. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you all enjoyed.
You too.
Okay, take care. Mm-hmm. Good night.